Consequence Podcast Network.
Tour set, pop!
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I cannot cry already. This is insane. I'm so happy to be here. We're super excited for this episode. 200 is definitely something to celebrate. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have you guys respond with Borahei. Borahei, Iconic Army.
Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lotte Holst, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. We're your hosts. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Standing BTS,
your favorite informative fangirl podcast.
All right, today we're going to hang out for about an hour in this live show to take a trip down memory lane and revisit some of BTS's best moments since we've been fans, kind of through the lens of Standing BTS.
Yeah, and it comes at the perfect time, just as BTS are starting to enter the military, we're able to reminisce on all of this time that we've spent with them.
Right. Yeah. And for our 200th episode.
We're so excited to fangirl, laugh, and recall what we've learned along the way.
So let's go ahead and get into the Standing BTS timeline here. May 2017.
Wow.
This is when we became fans. Just kind of a quick little bit about how we got into it. I discovered them while I was in graduate school studying OT. Got super distracted by BTS because I was in like neurology class trying to focus while looking at pictures of BTS, catching up on all their content. I was like, who are these people? You know, just getting to know all of the BTS members. And of course, I had to share with my best friend, Kayla.
Yeah. And for some reason, we hadn't been together for like a couple weeks. But when we did, you had to share. That was like the first thing that you had to tell me about them. And just knowing you and seeing how excited you were about them, like, I was intrigued and I was so like open-minded. I just had to get into it with you.
I'm so grateful that you were.
Yeah. I mean, the first song you showed me was Dope. And I mean, like, how could I not be hooked just from seeing that, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that year was also huge because that was the first time that BTS went to the AMAs.
Right.
And they performed there at the AMAs. They performed DNA, which was like, as ARMY, that was our first comeback. And so seeing them, you know, it's our very first album of theirs, and now they're performing it on this American Awards show. It was a monumental moment.
Yes.
I mean, this moment? Hello.
Yeah. And so we were such new fans. We were definitely like newborn ARMY. But at the time, we really were excited that they were going to be performing on an American award show because they hadn't done it before. And we knew the significance of it. It was around the time of my birthday. So I decided to lie to a lot of my friends and say it was a birthday party. But it was actually like a full blown, like you can see this Korean flag here. I like made it all BTS themed just to celebrate the AMAs and BTS getting to perform. I had like helium balloons.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you literally, you're about to say it, but you had these balloons, like she had to buy two tanks of helium, okay? And then hanging from the balloons were photos of BTS from every single balloon. It was incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I went out and got like a Korean flag. It was just so much fun. I had like teams with the different ships where we played like Run BTS games, and my friends who thought it was just a birthday party were like, what on earth is happening?
Yeah.
We had like Korean hot pot. It was so much fun, and we got to see BTS perform live at the AMAs, and it was just so memorable. Yeah. And that, I think, was just like the initiation of like, I'm so happy to be Army. Right. I'm so like, they just bring me so much joy to be able to do something like this that I would have never done.
Yeah. That moment was definitely a defining moment where we were like, we are Army. Like, not only the whole party with like all of your other friends there that you like kind of tricked them into coming to a BTS party, but when the actual performance happened, we were like on the floor, feet from the TV, like screaming, you know, and no shame, just in love with BTS and so excited for them.
Complete fangirl. Yeah.
But then at the end of that year, I mean, another incredibly iconic moment was their Mama Mic Drop performance with the dance break. Are you kidding?
Yes.
I mean, this moment.
Not the dance break, three dance breaks.
The three dance breaks. But I'm talking about the third dance break, you know? Like, first of all, this Mama, because we had just become fans this year, this was our first experience with award shows. Like, we had no idea what to expect at all. Mm-mm. And to get this massive performance of Mic Drop with three dance breaks and the third dance break, like, all those body rolls, I feel like, are permanently seared into our minds.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think this is probably the first time that we rewatched a video, like, for member by member, you know, to slow it down and...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, specifically, I remember loving the, like, Maknae fan cams, like, especially Taeyang. Taeyang had this, like, massive headband on. He had this, like, gold choker, and I was just completely obsessed with Taeyang. Still am, but, like, I was... ultra fangirl over him. I mean,
the headband and the gold chain, like, but fuck.
This performance, though, like, is the end of 2017. We really hadn't realized what Mama and Melon really were and what these award show performances had in store. And it just was such an iconic moment for all of them. And they won Artist of the Year. Like, I mean, they pretty much swept. Like, they won, like, seven additional awards on top of Artist of the Year.
Yeah.
So I remember them going up and accepting the award, like, completely drenched in sweat after they just, like, I mean, they went all out. Every ounce of energy they had in them, they put into that performance. And they were coming off a world tour.
Incredible.
It's legendary.
Iconic.
This performance is the best.
Yeah. By the way, we were going to say, if you are listening along with us live, grab yourself a drink. And every time we say iconic, I mean, you guys all wanted us to drink for this episode. No, iconics, you have to drink for this episode.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to, obviously.
if you want to, we'll probably say iconic.
If you're of age.
In normal times, yes.
Right, right. Yeah.
So this is when it was the end of the year. We were getting to Christmas and I was about to start my next field work, which was going to be in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And truthfully, we were devastated of like, how are we going to fangirl together? And our solution to that was like, let's make a podcast.
Literally.
Like,
well,
we can talk about BTS and fangirl over BTS through a podcast. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, and it really worked for us because we still got to, like, when you were in St. Louis and I was in KC, we just FaceTimed and hung out and did the same thing we would have done. And then we got to talk about it, you know?
Right.
And it was such a great decision that we made at the time, but we had no idea, like, that we would be here, sitting here, you know, a few years later recording episode
200 episodes in.
Yeah, 200 episodes in. You know, we just started it because we needed to fangirl.
Right.
But we're here. We're happy.
I'm so glad we did that.
Yeah. So, like, over Christmas, we had this idea, you know, and we really started developing it. And at the beginning of 2018, like, 2018 was our first year of the podcast, and it was really, like, the building blocks of Standing BTS, where we really formed what we have become, for sure. So at the end of January, we debuted our first three episodes. We were like, we're here, we're live, we're going to be posting.
Yeah.
And it's just been going from there.
Yeah. So getting into 2018, the next big release that happened was Hope World. And this was just such a blessing. I am a full-blown, like, Hoseok stan now, like, totally bias him. I don't know how at the time I did not know that he was going to be a double bias for me, because Hope World continues to be on my, like, Spotify Unwrapped every year. Like, Airplane and Daydream were on my Spotify Unwrapped 2022. Like, I just continue to listen to Hope World all the time. But this was when I had started, of course, my clinical, my like level two clinical, which is like, you know, a couple months long. I vividly remember sitting in my car, not wanting to go in because I couldn't stop listening to Hope World. Like, I just wanted to keep listening over and over and over. This is one of those albums for me that is just like start to finish is perfect. And I think a lot of ARMYs feel this way. Like, there is not a single bad song on this album. To get this from J-Hope was just such a blessing. And being a new fan and getting this kind of level of music with two music videos, I was like on cloud nine. Yeah. It was just such a wonderful time. It was freezing cold outside because it was like March or something like that.
Yeah.
But I was just living the Hope World. Yeah. Like, I was in Hope World at the time. It was just so wonderful. I'm pretty certain that this is going to be in my top five albums for the rest of my life. Like, it's just that good.
Hope World really is incredible. And when we first heard it, we were taken by it, and it's never left our like daily rotation. Like, same for me. I always listen to Hope World, and that for me, that came out like in February. I listened to it all spring. And then where I really remember Hope World was once the sun came out, you know, summertime, nice weather, listening to it, driving around with the windows down, blasting Hope World. Oh, that was like what I did that summer. Okay. It was amazing. I loved, you know, that vibe. I think Hope World fit.
I think it's great that that's your memory. My memory is like freezing cold. Yeah. Like, my windshield wipers are like scraping against the ice on my windshield type of cold.
Yeah. Minus like sun bright. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But Hope World, I think it's just going to forever stand the test of time. J-Hope is just, I think... this is like the tiny like first glimpse of like really J-Hope's potential and like where he ends up going from here, you know, especially in chapter two.
Yeah, for sure.
How he is as just as an artist as J-Hope.
Definitely. So next up in 2018, we decided to start the Ship series. Like I said, this is really the building blocks of standing BTS at this time. So when we started the Ship series, it was just because like we had never shipped before in our lives, but we really enjoyed the idea of shipping BTS. And we used to, I mean, for sure, we used to be like really DeLulu about it. I think
for me, for sure. I think of us too. I was the most DeLulu.
I let you live in that. I wasn't going to take that, you know, like I love that for you. Our very first Ship series was episode 9, and it was Suga Cookie, which is Yoongi and Jungkook. And we like always, we just decided from the beginning to randomly like pull their names out of a cup to know who we would ship. And we've always stuck with that. That's been like the main thing that's changed, and the main thing that's stayed the same. Other things have changed. I think we really went from trying to discover the validity on if these relationships really exist on like a romantic level to like actually just exploring the beautiful relationship and connection that like these people have together and the unique bond that each, you know, each one of them share with the other one. Because as seven members working together, as they call themselves brothers and a family that they've become over these years, there's so many different interpersonal relationships in there. And I think we've just really come to love every single different relationship and the way that they care for each other and look after each other and support each other. And so that's what I love about the Ship series, is just being able to see that and, you know, have a purposeful time to explore that.
Right. To look into the dynamics of the members. Yeah. And so, yeah, originally the Ship series, like I don't know if whose idea it was, but I was such a strong take.
It had to have been
shipper.
Your idea. Are you kidding?
It was totally my idea. But
also, you're the alliteration queen, so you definitely thought Ship series. Yeah.
But just absolutely love Taekook and their dynamic and their friendship. And at the time, I think I was maybe just a little too DeLulu with it, which was fine. Like, I was such a new fan. I had never shipped before. I didn't really actually know what that was. But I've loved what the Ship series has brought. It's such a lovely series that so many iconics really enjoy. And some of the most fun research was getting to just look at the BTS members' friendships and even getting into those flirtatious moments where like, oh, you know, that even if it is fan service or whatever, it's fun and enjoyable for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Taekook or like even Minimani. Like, I would have never fallen in love with like Jimin and Namjoon ship or even probably let myself like double bias Namjoon with Jimin had I not had that bridge between like thinking of this Minimani connection, Minjoon. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so we had done the Ship series, and then shortly after this, we ended up getting the release of Singularity and Love Yourself Tear after that. But we also ended up going through our first ticketing process for BTS tickets to go to Fort Worth and see them for the Love Yourself concert.
Yeah. Which was crazy because this weekend of ticket purchasing just happened to go over a weekend that Bethany, you had a prior planned camping trip. There was no way that you were going to get out of it. And there was no cell phone service where you were going to be at. So you actually like trained like family members on how to use Ticketmaster, all of the tips and tricks. And at the same time that, you know, tickets were going to be bought over the weekend, Singularity randomly drops. We had no idea it was coming. It just drops. And for me, the whole weekend was just like pure just anticipation for you to get fucking cell phone service. Like I was like, please, like Sunday, like 11 a.m. or something. I just knew that you would drive out of the woods far enough to get all of my million messages about Singularity because I knew that you were going to lose your mind.
What a weekend for me to go off the grid. I was like, man, I had no idea that he was going to let Taeyong was going to be the intro for the new album. And I was just so in the mindset of tickets are going on sale. And I was just thinking about the concert, not really about like the intro or the new album that was coming. We were still new fans. So like the promotions and stuff, we weren't as on top of it as we are now. But I in-serviced my parents. And I remember my mom being just like, you are ridiculous. Like, do you see yourself? And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. This is what you need to do. But I can't express the emotions of getting into like phone service, like actually getting service, and the floods of text messages I got from you guys trying to get tickets, finding out that we had gotten floor tickets to see them in Fort Worth. And then also Singularity, this like so hot, just like unbelievably sexy Taeyong with this like very soulful song, this like neo soul song. Yeah. Like, damn.
Like really, because it was nothing we had ever heard before from BTS. And of course it's Taeyong, like the sexiest, most like sultry man of all time.
Yeah.
Also shout out to Wen Hao for snagging those Fort Worth tickets.
But truly, no other BTS song like Singularity. Mm. I love Inner Child and Stigma, but Singularity takes the cake for me for Taeyong's solo songs. Like, it's just one of the best. And the choreography.
The choreography is incredible. Like, the fact that the song is so, you know, like slow and even tempoed, but the choreography is so crisp and clean and thought-provoking too. Like, I remember watching that video for the first time and then even going in and doing research for it to analyze the video. And there's so much to it that we broke down from the choreo.
Of course, there was like mythology behind it. Yeah, the narcissism. Yeah, just a fantastic song. The music video, the choreo, all around. Taeyong just being hot as always. Like, he's unbelievable.
We really had no idea what we were getting into with like Singularity, because when Comeback happened and we got Love Yourself Tear, we got Fake Love as the hit track right after that. I mean, sexy to sexy, just incredible. Me, when I'm thinking about like Love Yourself Tear coming out, I'm thinking about like Jungkook and his performance. But mainly my first experience with the song coming out and with the album itself was in my apartment, pitch black, 4 a.m., headphones in, laying in my bed, trying not to wake up my husband and like watching this song. And right when I finished it, I had to like click repeat, like watch it again. Loved it, floored by it. And I immediately was like intrigued by how different it was from what we knew of BTS, because our only experience from Comeback had been her. And so we were thinking like, okay, this is BTS's music and sound. And we had no idea like how different eras going can
to
be.
The eras and going to a darker concept. I feel like Fake Love, it's not like Blood, Sweat, and Tears wasn't like a little bit of a dark concept, you know? Like, it, something about Fake Love though was particularly darker and more emo. And I just, so for me, it was kind of a little, not jarring, that's not, maybe not the right word, but like, it was a shift for me because we were coming off of DNA and I'm just like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. And I feel terrible now looking back at it. But first time listening through, I was like, I don't know. I don't know about Fake Love, but now it's by far one of my most like favorite concert songs because of the fan chant. Oh, yeah. Like, Fake Love.
Yes.
It's an unbelievable moment with BTS and ARMY during the fake love performances. Yes. Yeah.
Also, like, anytime you listen to the song, like, I feel like I almost crash my car every time I hear this in the car because you have to do the choreo.
You have to do
love
the choreo.
Love is so bad. Yes. How could you not, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, obviously, they got to perform this. And, like, this is a fucking Billboard. Jungkook with the full ab reveal, mm-hmm. You know, on the Korean comeback stages, obviously, he was not doing this. He was, like, barely even touching his shirt on those stages. And so we, at the time, did not expect this in any way because we were like...
But I remember ARMY's speculating, like, oh, he pulls up his shirt a little bit.
Maybe he will.
And then he comes to an American award show and just, like, boom, full abs, like, almost up above his nipple. Like, Jungkook!
Stop. Yeah. This is when Jungkook started to just wreck me forever for my entire life, and he's never stopped. He's just continued to destroy me.
But overall, particularly for Fake Love and Tear, I really enjoyed the styling of this whole concept. Like, I just really was in love with the fashion, the harnesses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was into it.
Oh, the harnesses. Yep. Same. It was great.
So after this, we end up getting Epiphany and Idol and Love Yourself Answer releases. Gosh, what a year. The Love Yourself era here. For the release of Idol, I had gone to visit some friends at college in a college town, and they had gone out for the night, and we had been partying and whatnot, and all I was thinking about was, I have to get up at an ungodly hour after already being out late drinking to be there for the drop of Idol.
Yeah.
And I remember so vividly waking up in the middle of the night with all my friends, like, sleeping on air mattresses, walking to the bathroom, sitting on the toilet, hungover, trying to wrap my head around Idol. Like, this music video was, like, bright colors, just, like, the CGI. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I mean, this song is a banger, but, like, I was like, what is happening with this music video? It was just so bright, lots going on, kind of over the top.
Right.
I can't say kinda. It is over the top. It's fantastic.
Yeah. The intentional overproduction that we came to realize its purpose as we, like, dissected the video in the episode about it. But, like, at the time, it was a lot. You know, I'm sure 5 a.m. hungover. Yeah, seriously.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
But truthfully, I loved Idol right from the get-go. I just loved the song. But with the repackaged album, we had never had a repackaged before. Mm-hmm. But getting those trivias was such a gift.
Yeah.
And it was so unexpected. I didn't quite know what to expect with a repackage at the time.
Right.
But Just Dance continues to be one of my all-time mm-hmm. favorite songs, mm-hmm. but also
Seesaw. Yeah. Seesaw's iconic, especially, I mean, like, Yoongi went viral with his performance of Seesaw. I mean, that clip of him, that left Stan Twitter, you know, mm-hmm. like, locals were seeing that. And I mean, that's an iconic song too. Right. I love the trivias. And yeah, it was our first repackage, so we weren't quite sure, like, what to expect, but we felt really fulfilled by mm-hmm. the new additional songs and, you know, like, Love Myself Answer, just incredible on there, and getting euphoria on that too.
We loved Epiphany and mm-hmm. talking about Jin's, you know, intro for the album too.
Yeah.
So all around, I just feel like it's such a fantastic repackaged album mm-hmm. and Idol will stand the test of time. I just love that it's the intro of our podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the ultimate confidence boost hype song.
Yeah.
And I just also have to give a shout out to Jungkook's, like, yellow suit that he wears in it, because this is when we're like, wow, it is obscene. Like, I'll never forget just, like, how obscene he looks in this outfit.
Those pants are so tight. Yeah. I mean, in the music video, they have to cut away before you see too much. Yeah. I mean, Idol is so iconic. I feel like Idol represents BTS at the height of their career with all of what this song represents.
Right.
The song and the music video itself.
And a representation of them and mm-hmm. Korean culture.
Right.
I think that was a big takeaway from getting into the music video, was looking at all of the Korean cultural symbols and representations. So it led for just... I remember recording our episode to review Idol, and just, I feel like that really opened the pathway for us of, like, wow, we can really get into our analysis of BTS's music and even the videos, more than just like the basic kind of storyline that they have going.
That really was our first time like truly analyzing the video instead of just like piecing together the storyline. And so that was a big...
Or fangirling.
Yeah, or just fangirling, right. Like, we definitely made sure to like have fangirling in every like music video review episode because we still love to do it. But we really realized how much we enjoyed like analyzing what they're doing here. And, you know, as much as we pick apart the lyrics, being able to pick apart the symbolism in the music video and then providing that content too. Like, BTS have always been such proud carriers of Korean culture. And, you know, I think Idol in the music video was one of those times that we really realized how much they are.
That there was much more to their music and to their videos, for sure. I just felt like Idol was the gateway for us to really start getting more analytical with our reviews.
And then later on in that year, we got to go and see. This is actually when we saw BTS in Fort Worth. And this was in, I think, like September. And
it was October, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, October?
Well, maybe it was September.
I feel like September 16th. It sticks in my mind. But the concert was so incredible, being our very first BTS experience. We really had no idea like how lucky we were. We were in open floor GA, so no seats, and it wasn't divided between like VIP GA and regular GA, and there was no division between first and second stage. It was literally all open. And so we started the concert like back by second stage, but we were able, as the concert kept going, to move in and out of, you know, like every kind of area of the stages, you know, back and forth next to the runway by the main stage.
It's unheard of.
It's crazy. Like, at the time we had no idea that we would never ever get something like that again.
I feel like this is a conversation that a lot of ARMYs talk about too, is like, man, if you're a BTS ARMY who got to see them in Fort Worth, like, I mean, the sign that they had outside was just like so janky and so like,
people were clowning on the venue. They were like, I graduated high school there.
Right. They could have had such a larger venue and they could have put way more people on the floor. It was truly a blessing to have been able to go to Fort Worth and see them in Fort Worth, because it was just such a small, intimate concert for how large they had already gotten at the time. I remember going from second stage to first stage, walking down the like the runway with them. Like, we could just be wherever we wanted. It was so special. And just for that to be our first concert experience was just unforgettable.
Yeah, definitely. I caught Yoongi's water bottle. Right. That was like one of the most memorable moments of that concert. Was like, they were doing a medley, and like, I would just will never forget how he looked at me, because this is why, like, even when we went to the Enhypen concert, I was like, I'm not having my phone out, because when you don't have it, your phone out, you're able to just really experience it. And I feel like at least Yoongi appreciated that, and he saw me and he was like, fuck yeah, I see you, like, whatever, while he was like rapping during the medley. And then like, after he took a drink of his water and like flipped it all over the crowd.
It was during run.
It was, and he threw it out and it literally landed right at my feet. And there was like two or three girls around me who were like scooping down, like there was hands, there was all hands around it. But I was just so quick. I've never been that quick in my life. Like, I just snatched that shit up so fast. Oh my gosh.
I didn't even see him throw the water bottle. I was just like, oh my God, I got hit by their water. Like, I was just so grateful to be hit by the water. And I'll never forget turning around to you being like, oh my God, did you get hit with the water too? Like, did you get hit with the water? And you're like, bitch, I have his water bottle. And I'm like, no freaking way. Unbelievable. Oh, unbelievable. God, what a great first concert experience with BTS. You deserve that water bottle.
I mean, I have it. And this picture of us is us sobbing at the end of the concert, as we do at the end of every BTS concert. I mean, we were a fucking mess. We were destroyed.
The tears just come on. Like, there's no warning. It just, like, the second they're, like, trying to leave and they're saying goodbye, the waterworks go into play. Right. It goes by so quick.
It really does go by so quick.
My outfit was like fully Taeyang influenced. I had like the beret, the glasses, the very artsy shirt, and like Gucci flats, although they weren't really Gucci.
I'm literally wearing the same glasses, but my hair is like very short at the time. Like, I did not cut my hair to be short. Like Jimin, but like, I used to have my hair cut that short, and I had like a couple different short hairstyles. I'm growing back out long now or whatever. What a time. What a time. Also, we met up with the very first iconic in person.
One iconic
at the Fort Worth concert, Dakota. And yeah. It was so awesome to meet her. And that was the first one.
This gives us a little bit of perspective of where the show's gone since then.
Yeah.
So after this, we end up getting the release of Mono, which I felt like dropped out of nowhere. There was really no promotion around it. Namjoon really hadn't hinted at this mixtape release. So I had just gotten married and I was in Hawaii on my honeymoon when this album unexpectedly drops, or this mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember just being in complete paradise with Corey, like newlywed, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm sorry babe, but I've got to listen to this album. Like, Namjoon just released a mixtape, like I have to listen. And I'm like in this like sunny tropical island listening to Forever Rain, crying on my honeymoon, and I'm just like, it's not really the vibe right now, but I love Mono so much, and I appreciated everything that it is at the time, even though it like wasn't really reflective of where I was in my life. But like, I remember just thinking how cohesive the album was, and particularly loving Moonchild and Everything Goes, like that being such a mantra and just the meaning of it. And it's, again, Mono, I just think is... it's such a gift. I don't understand how they continue to put out such great music. No promotion around it.
Right.
Just Namjoon speaking from his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, as you were thousands of miles away in paradise, you know, being like, this album does not fit what I'm going through right now.
I wasn't really saying that. But like, looking back on it now, I'm like, wow, I was really crying to Mono.
Right. On your honeymoon. Yeah. I mean, the setting was perfect for me because, like, when Namjoon released this, he was like, I want it to come out during fall. You know, it's going to be, like, the perfect mood for, like, the vibe of the album. And it was for me because I was sitting at home, like, sinking further into my seasonal depression and, like, just really vibing with every cathartic song and, like, moment on the album. And what I loved was when you got back from your honeymoon and we got to sit down and listen to this album together. This was the first time that we were relating the idea of cathartic with BTS's music, because we had not listened to the album from start to finish with each other, and we did. And what we talked about while we were listening through, I mean, not just catching up from, like, you know, your vacation and everything, your honeymoon, but like just everything that came up just from feeling the music, not even looking at the lyrics yet. I mean, we both cried just listening to it. And by the time we got to Everything Goes, we felt such this wash of catharsis where we just were able to let all of these emotions go. And, you know, it was such a pinnacle moment, I feel like, for how deeply we connected with BTS's music. Like, not only do we love like these lyrics that they've written in the past, or we think that that's a banger, but now we're like experiencing relief from listening to an album, like true relief. And we felt like from that album that we could go back to it and listen to it anytime that you're feeling in like that depressed mood. Like, Mono is what you put on, because Mono is going to take you through that, like, start to finish. And almost like that feeling of Mono, or like that catharsis of Mono, is what inspired us to continue to look at their albums and like to think about their music differently.
Yeah. I'm so happy that you remembered just like sitting down for that album review. I hadn't really thought about it, but like, I'm taken back to your old apartment and really us crying and talking about like how we relate to the music, the lyrics that stood out to us and our experiences, and thinking about what he had experienced and understanding really like the feelings of catharsis in that moment because of that journey that Mono takes you on from start to finish.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The expression from the music inspired me so much to take risks, and it inspired damn near the whole rap game.
Hello again, I'm Adam Unz. You may know me as the host of The Opus, and now I'm bringing my own show, The Spark Parade, to the Consequence Podcast Network. I speak with artists and creatives about the cultural artifacts that spark their personal interest and creativity, whether it's music, books, movies, video games, or any other kind of art.
I've never spoke about it in this amount of detail. I'm suddenly going, oh my God, I'm blowing my own mind here, Bryce. It's actually a giant part of my life.
By talking about the things we love, we share and discover insights into our personality and the things that drive us.
It's just magic, really. I mean, frustrating. upsetting and made some people angry, but I don't think anyone's ever done anything like it.
I speak with people like Connor Oberst, Phoenix's Thomas Mars, Chris Gethard, Helen Hong, Adrian Young, and more, so their sparks of inspiration can start a fire in you.
I'm grateful for those who continue to put our history and who we are as a people in the forefront and make you see it.
Find the Spark Parade wherever you get your podcasts.
And then at the end of 2018, we had Mama 2018. And, you know, Melon and Mama at the end of 2018 were both really memorable nights. But in particular, the Mama performance or the Mama night in Hong Kong was, because this is where BTS got their Artist of the Year award. Mm-hmm. And this is where we got this crying J-Hope. Where he started the speech, the acceptance speech, with like this bright, super joyful smile, and he started to get choked up and it broke into this, which of course broke all of our hearts as we're watching.
But he's like grinning ear to ear, holding this trophy for Artist of the Year, and then just breaks into, like, the smile breaks and he starts crying.
Yeah.
And the reason we have to talk about Mama 2018 is because I think this was just shocking and just like devastating to all of ARMYs, because we had no idea that like 2018 was such a fantastic year for them, but they had gone through so much turmoil during that year.
And 2018 was also a fantastic year for ARMY as listeners. Like, think about all we just said that we got to hear and experience.
Tear, Answer, Mono,
Hope World.
Yeah.
But to know
the tour. Yeah.
Exactly. And to know here at the end of 2018 that they really struggled throughout that year and even prior in 2017 was very sad. During Jin's speech, he said that at the beginning of 2018, they had been thinking about disbanding. They were going through a really hard emotional time and they had seriously considered it. And like that knowledge, that realization, like ARMY, we had never gotten any information like that before. And so like that was a really hard time, I think, for ARMY to like understand and process. And then we're going back and like questioning everything. And like then this moment is when we realize what Outro Tier is about.
This is when everyone realized what Outro Tier was about.
Yeah, because they later told us that the rap line wrote that song as like, this is our breakup song that we're going to disband. Yeah. And then they all listened to it together and cried and basically decided not to. And so this is when we're just learning that they had gone through all of this emotional turmoil. And that's what just made that Mama really stand out, because they had gotten to the end of that really, really hard year. And
that's true. Like, they said in their speech that they basically had made it to the other side.
Right.
Right. It was just so heartbreaking, though, to see like J-Hope was crying, Jungkook was crying. I mean, pretty much every member was crying. Taeyong, when Jin had mentioned that they had thought about disbanding, like completely broke down. And it was just like, these photos are honestly devastating of him. Like, I can't look at them. But of course, like, it just warms my heart a little bit to see Jungkook there comforting him and holding him to his chest, you know, just letting him cry it out. I mean, it was, gosh, I kind of forgot about this award and this speech that they gave and what had happened. It's so much time has passed since this, but.
Right. And they've come so far since this. Right. Like, they're so far past what caused them to get to that moment of considering disbandment, that they're so far past that. Even here in the speech, they were past that. Just talking about it and reliving it obviously brought up that emotion for them. But, you know, some members were very lighthearted in the moment, as if to convey, like, it's hilarious, the idea that we would break up now at this point. I mean, so we go from that at the end of 2018, and then the first thing in 2019 is like,
we started getting Boy With Love. It's just like complete whiplash.
Yeah, we go from sobbing over disbandment and realizing what Outro Tier is into Boy With Love.
Yeah,
which is a great time. I mean, we got like Map of the Soul Persona, and this had the hit track Boy With Love with Halsey, which was significant because it's the first time that a hit track had a feature on it. I mean, they had done Idol
like
with
a remix or a second release. Right. Yeah, it was the original track had Halsey on it.
So really cool. And I mean, really truly, this album, although the Persona album is short, it's really full of iconic songs like Home, Microcosmos, Jamais Vu, Dionysus. I mean,
and Home.
Yeah,
like, those two songs for me, like, dang. But also, Make It Right. Boy With Love is such a fantastic song. The collaboration is one of their best collaborations. We love Halsey. They love Halsey. So it was just such a happy time. Like, I know that we were coming off of that like really sad speech, but like once they go into 2019, they really kick things off and with such a bright concept.
Mm-hmm. You know, back to Love Yourself, her brightness, you know.
Yeah, but this is when we're getting Map of the Soul. Right. And this is when we start getting, you know, these Jungian terms with the intros of Persona, then we would get Shadow and Ego. So
yeah. And now we're getting like deep into philosophy in the midst of like fangirling over their music video. We're like, you know, listening to philosophy podcast about Carl Jung and, you know, his teachings, just so we can understand these lyrics.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is great. I love to be educated by BTS.
Me too.
Yeah.
Such a bop. Mm-hmm. Love Boy With Love.
Yeah.
Map of the Soul, Persona.
Yeah. So after this, we got Speak Yourself in Chicago. That is the second BTS concert that we got to go to. And we actually got to experience this concert with Jordan, which is so great. He came with us that night, and it was a, such a rainy and like chilly night that night too, but it was an amazing concert.
It was a rainy night. I remember we had brought our own rain jackets, or like the ponchos, the rain ponchos.
Yeah.
And I remember people coming up to ARMYs being like, where'd you get that? Where'd you buy that? And I'm like, I'm so sorry. We brought it. We didn't buy it here. Wish we, you know, there was somewhere you could purchase ponchos, because it was cold and chilly.
It was
very Chicago weather.
And but we were committed to our outfits. We were like, we're going to wear this no matter what, because we had planned what we were going to wear. So we were just freezing with our ponchos on. It was worth it though. And it was a great time. Yeah. We got to see like Singularity and Serendipity again. And like to see Taeyang on the bed there at Speak Yourself was something brand new.
Yes. Yes. I feel like, okay, we try our best to not spoil events, you know, like spoil the concert. So we'll like stay off of Stan Twitter or whatnot. But I'll just never forget the ARMY standing next to me who she was clearly a Taeyang bias. I was a Taeyang bias. Like I had like my little Tata headband on. And we hear Singularity starting. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know that the solo performances were like all redone, like totally new shows and, you know, just like stages, I guess. And she is like double fisting two beers. And she turns to me. She's by herself. She turns to me and she's like, oh my God, the bed, Taeyang, the bed. And I'm like, the bed? Like, what is this girl talking about? Like, I was like, this girl is loco.
Right. Like, she's drunk.
Yeah, like, really. And then we see Taeyang start this performance laying on a bed, like, opening and like flicking his eyelids, you know, up and down, looking at the camera right at the right moment. Like, damn it, Taeyang. I just unforgettable. Like, I'll never forget her just like freaking out on it over it and me having no idea what she was talking about. And then fully understanding why she was freaking out to that level.
And then continuing to like freak out with her.
And he had green contacts in, he had like a green duster like robe on and just green microphone, green everything. And it just
Knows that you're obsessed with green. And he had to wear it for you that night.
Just so hot. After that concert, I had listened to Singularity hundreds of times. But after that concert, on my drive, like my 6-hour, 8-hour drive back to St. Louis, I like for a solid 3 hours on loop, listened to Singularity. Like that's just how much it impacted me. Yeah. I was like, I have heard this song a million times, but I have like this totally new perspective on it.
Just like as you should though, because every time that you replayed it, you were replaying him on the bed.
That's
in your mind.
It.
I mean, like how could you
and
turn that off?
And the choreo.
Yeah.
The choreo. Yes.
Well, as the year continued, as 2019 continues, we have Chicken Noodle Soup by J-Hope, featuring Becky G. I mean, this is still one of my favorite J-Hope songs, just because it is the first ever. This is a historic song. First ever song in English, Korean, and Spanish. Yeah. And I just think that is so fucking cool. As a Spanish teacher, as someone who loves, you know, like Spanish language and all the different cultures, I love to see it represented in a BTS song. Like, it's like my two favorite things coming together, right. Like when worlds collide, iconic. And then what makes it even better is 3 years later, after this song coming out, you know, Becky G comes and performs it with J-Hope at Hobiepalooza. Yeah. Yes. Like, that just means that even to both of them, this song really means that much to them too. That 3 years later, after the song comes out, they're both going to perform it together. Yeah. I love this song. I thought that it was iconic when he came out with this music video. He looks so fucking good.
Yeah. The choreo for it too. I remember all of the BTS members doing the choreo, just having so much fun with it. Such a great release. I felt like all of the BTS members were so supportive of this release and loved it just as much as ARMY did. Just even Bianca Bonny's involvement in it, you know, with this being originally her song, and hearing J-Hope's story on why he picked this song and why Becky G also felt connected to the song.
Right.
I think that also really adds to just the significance and just how wonderful this collaboration and kind of remake was. Something I really think of, a very vivid memory, is I was working in Olympia, Washington at the time, and I remember one of my coworkers, who I don't expect anyone to know who BTS is. I don't know why, at least at this time, not now. One of my patients and my coworkers was watching Chicken Noodle Soup, and I'm like, "Oh, right, hold up. Whatever I'm doing, put it down. I gotta come over and see what's happening."
Right.
And my coworker had no idea who J-Hope was. She didn't know that he was like a member of BTS. All she could say was, "Oh, he's such a better dancer than her." You know, comparing J-Hope to Bianca, Becky G. And I'm like, you have no idea who you're watching, one of the best dancers on the planet right now. Of course he's better. Like, she had no idea who he was, but I just felt like she was completely mesmerized by his dancing. And I just love seeing like a complete third party, someone who's not ARMY, watching him being like, damn, he's just a fantastic dancer. And I think she thought he was hot too, but she didn't say that. But right. Like, she was definitely into words. Him.
Yeah. Yes. I just love that, like, she randomly, like, was just obsessed with it, and that you got to have that little moment.
Yeah. And the fact that, I mean, that patient who was like in her 80s, she knew who BTS were because of her grandkids.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. ARMY is all ages.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All
so right. 2019 was pretty brief, but 2020, getting into 2020, we started with New Year's.
Yeah, we started on such a high note of 2020 because we got the performance at Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve in New York City. And boy, this performance, I immediately go to Minyoongi. That's where I go because of the Make It Right body rolls.
Yes.
And Minyoongi, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, all of their body rolls are fantastic, and they're like little hip thrusts on the stairs. But we were like, oh, it's so cool that they're going to be, you know, at the Rockin' New Year's Eve, but this particular performance of Make It Right, I was not expecting such great choreo on the stairs. And this Minyoongi in this white shirt totally wrecking me.
The thing is too, since this is like Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, like, there's not footage of this that you can really find of like the whole performance in like good high quality.
No.
But you know what there is? There is like a 27-second video of Yoongi's hip rolls on the stairs. Yeah.
Thank you to those armies.
Because that's what's important. What an iconic moment for them. We were really excited for them to perform at New Year's. We were like, this is BTS's year.
Yeah.
What's also crazy is that 2020 was when we got to our 100th episode. And for that episode, we did finally Foreheads, because many iconics had asked us to talk about Foreheads. And we had decided, I mean, it was time that, you know, we had to have the Forehead discussion about how attractive BTS are. And how attractive their foreheads are, as the foreheads became
exposed. How game-changing the forehead is.
The maturity of the forehead exposure, you know, it was a very highbrow topic, but it was a really great time.
I honestly, when I look back on that episode, like in our Google Doc, we went into like different types of hairlines and got so serious with like the discussion of the foreheads.
We really did.
Yeah. But I also am like thinking how unserious of an episode, like finally foreheads.
Right,
but
for our 100th episode.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm glad we did it though.
Yeah, it was a good time.
But after this, we end up getting the Map of the Soul 7 release. This was February 21st, 2020. We had so many episodes that covered this album because it's just so special to BTS. It's so special to ARMY. It's for sure one of their best albums of all time. Yeah. We covered Suga's Shadow. We covered Ego, the intro. I mean, yeah, Ego.
Yeah.
Outro. Ego. Mm-hmm. We covered Barefoot Bangtan, talking about their Black Swan performance, which was like life-changing for me. Talking literally about On, the Manifesto film.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just the album review overall with all of their solo tracks and like the different, you know, subunit songs.
Yeah, they really gave us a lot to talk about. Yeah. I think that this was such a deeply personal album for BTS, for all of the members, because it's really a strong reflection of them as a group. This is a distinct album, being like their seventh full studio album. Right. Them, you know, each making songs. There's a lot of subunit songs on that album that made it really special. They each had a hand in the production and the lyrics of the songs that they were working on, which is typical for a handful of members already, but some of them don't get as involved in it. And so it was awesome that they really did with this album. For us, like, we almost think about, well, I always think about their song Friends. I love Friends because with Taeyong and Jimin being Your and I's bias, I've always really connected to that song because it's a really meaningful song for their friendship. And I love that we're able to kind of like live their friendship and our friendship at the same time through the connection of them being our biases.
Yeah.
So that was really sweet. I love the person, you know, the personal touch that they bring to the album.
Oh yeah. The friends, I just feel like I think of all those little tiny details and the lyrics of like specific events and stories and things that they've said to each other. Like, it just shows how deeply personal Seven as an album is to all of the members. I freaking love Shadow. When the intro for Shadow was released, this is, I think, when I became perpetually wrecked by Yoongi.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I was like, whoa, I've never been sleeping on him way too long, even though, of course, I've always appreciated him. But just Shadow was like game changing.
Oh yeah,
for me.
I mean, this Min Yoongi is fucking insane.
Right.
It's burned into my memory. It's the best shot of him of all time. He's so incredible.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Shadow Yoongi. What a time.
And also just the packaging of this album too. Like, I think of all of the different versions and the seven, and the fact that all of them have like the seven tattoos. Like, clearly, like this album. I don't know. I feel like all of ARMYs clearly appreciate it and love it, but I just feel like it didn't get lost in 2020, but like, it just like, it was such a great album to like be followed by the pandemic. It was just unfortunate timing.
Right. I mean, like, this album had On too.
It had Black Swan. Black Swan, I think, is one of their best songs of all time. Like, I looped that. I did not sleep after the release of Black Swan.
Yeah.
Like, I could not go back to sleep because I just couldn't stop listening. And the album, start to finish, the songs, Ugh.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's just iconic, the whole album.
Yeah.
And you're right. It really, it's not that the album didn't get like the attention it deserved, but it didn't get its full moment because of COVID shutdown. When COVID shut down, like, everything that we thought 2020 was going to be for BTS came to a screeching halt. Like, we were like, they are at the top of their game and they're about to dominate this whole year. They're about to go on this tour. We had gotten tickets for their Map of the Soul tour, and we just knew that they were really going to take over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID just took that all away.
Yep.
We did get like quite a few, you know, things from them during shutdown that kept us going. Like, we had some episodes about like quarantine content, because they were putting so much out. We got the first Bang Bang Con. We got another one later on. They're, you know, live stream concerts, yeah. Kind of like that new venture into how to have a concert virtually and how to, even the first one was a lovely way to feel connected to BTS, right. And to other ARMY at the time when so many of us were feeling so isolated, right. But really what got us through this COVID shutdown. What saved us all was D2.
Absolutely.
I mean, Minyoungi, as he does, just continues to create incredible music.
Yeah.
And D2, like, I mean, I was really struggling with shutdown. I was the most depressed I have ever been in my life. Mm-hmm. There was a point in the spring where you came to visit me because of how depressed I was, where Jordan was like, you should come visit Kayla. And I mean, then in the summer when D2 came out, it wasn't any better. You know, it was just the isolation was so hard. And I was at home every day and Jordan still had to go to work every day. And so I literally saw no one. It was very lonely.
Yeah.
And when D2 came out, I decided to just come to you in St. Louis and for us to just listen to this album together and put together the episode on it and to review it. And I will just never, ever forget sitting on your back patio, and it was a gorgeous day, like sunny, breezy, beautiful weather.
Yeah. And it was spring.
It was spring. And we just listened to the entire album start to finish, just sharing our thoughts and feelings as we listened to it. Like literally, I just can't stop thinking about Set Me Free playing and hearing the birds in Set Me Free and then the actual birds around outside. Like your house, like chirping. And it was just a perfect moment. It was a perfect moment in the midst of like how horrible the shutdown had been so far.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Yeah. Our album reviews are always so memorable, and I feel that it's some of our like best bonding time together. But because of the pandemic and what everyone was going through at the time and just like facing this new reality, getting to dissect and enjoy and just really get into what D2 had to offer and all of his music with, you know, with this release was just something I'll never forget. It's so memorable. I'll never forget it. Yeah.
I mean, Deshwita,
I also feel, well, I don't feel, I know that this is actually our Deshwita review and our D2 album review are our most listened to episodes.
Yeah.
Those two.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's because our heart and soul was poured into them of how much we enjoyed D2 and how much we enjoyed Deshwita. And yeah. Deshwita, like, I just feel like, how dare Minyoungi put both blonde and dark hair Minyoungi into one video. Like, he really was like, no mercy. No mercy.
Yeah.
This shot of him with the sword behind his back, with the long blonde hair and his cheekbones sharp as hell.
The sword dance in the music video? I mean, are you kidding? He's crazy. I mean, then he put himself like in like rope tied up. Like he's tied up in the music video. Black hair, scar on his face. Yeah. Fuck. Like, yeah. Never ever over Deshwita, never over D2 Minyoungi and what he gave us there.
Right. So after this, we get the release of Dynamite, and this was in August, late August of 2020. We really enjoyed getting to talk about just like their Tiny Desk performance for Dynamite, America's Got Talent. They went on, you know, iHeartRadio, just all of like the American promotions around Dynamite, which really made sense with it being their like first English track single release.
Yeah. That was huge. It was like, it was surprising because for so long from them, we had heard in so many interviews, like, we're not doing English music. But like what Namjoon just said in Change Part 2, fuck my interviews from years ago. And so this was like a change for them, but we were so excited for it. And this is the first time that we decided to do a live stream on Instagram. And so we did a, like you and I on our podcast account did a live stream for the drop of this music video. And I just remember sitting in my living room, like having like sitting in front of my coffee table, super close to the TV. And so we're sitting on the floor and then we were literally floored by Taeyang when he comes up.
Taeyang,
like that fucking, the forehead, the moment, I mean, right. We literally screamed and fell back on the floor. Like we were done. We were dead. He's insane. I mean, talk about forehead.
Okay. But what I remember about Dynamite is like, didn't really have any thoughts on like their English discography yet, because this was the first release that we got. So I was like, I'm just super excited that we're getting a single. It's all in English. How fun, whatever. Right. And I remember just vibing and enjoying Dynamite so, so much that our first time listening through, watching live on Instagram together, I turned to you and I was like, this is their best. Like, I was like, this is absolutely their best. And just seeing, I love the shots of all of them coming up close and like Taeyang running his hands through his hair and right. Jimin's full forehead too. I mean. And, Jin being in that brown outfit, oh, like this funky retro.
The king of brown.
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, that's when we're like put him in brown more often. Like he just looks so great. It really was that glimmer of hope, that joy that they could bring to us during such a difficult, awful time.
Yeah. And then just speaking of what we were saying earlier about this album, Map of the Soul 7, like getting its moment, getting the time that it deserved. And because it didn't get the tour that was supposed to go along with it, we always kind of felt like it didn't get everything that it needed. But what we did get from it was the Map of the Soul 1 performance, which was a one-time live stream concert that they performed basically like their had their planned set list for this album.
Yeah. Rest in peace to that concert for all of the armies who had tickets. That was devastating. Mm-hmm. I cried. We mourned like that whole day when we found out that that concert wasn't happening and that it was going to be streamed virtually.
Oh, yeah.
We had 4 tickets, like silver soundcheck. We were going to see BTS at soundcheck for the first time, or, you know, not first time, but like the only potential time we would see them, you know, at soundcheck. And it was second stage, like couple rows back. Yeah. Like it was such
perfect supreme seats. The perfect seats and sound check. I mean, sound check was like one of the things that we always wanted the most. That seems so unattainable. And to have actually secured those tickets, I mean, it felt too good to be true. Yeah. And I mean, I guess it was
like too good to be
it
true.
It really never came to fruition.
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to get over. And I think for me, I still think about the actual performance itself. It was devastating for Jin to perform Moon and not get his live performance of Moon with ARMY. Like, I feel like that is such a song that he deserved to sing with all of ARMY's love surrounding him.
When we were watching together, we were both just like crying, holding on to each other. Like, we wish that we could just tell Jin how much we love this song and how much we enjoy this performance, and that he couldn't see us, you know, enjoying it. That's what was heartbreaking about it. But I'm still grateful that we had the concert, you know, but just the solo stages, like, I mean, Filter,
literally Jungkook's My Time. The hottest thing of all time is Jungkook in this red outfit and like the walking dancing transition that he makes from one stage to the other stage on the other side of the fucking room. He's insane.
Oh my gosh, those ARMY edits of like him saying it's like Jungkook and his twin, and it's him in that red outfit and in the black outfit, like walking down, like performing My Time. Like, damn, no,
it's too much.
I loved the Filter performance. I thought Jimin was just so sexy. The red suit, the choreo was so provocative. I was like, Park Jimin.
Really though, Park Jimin.
I really liked the purple suit too. Like, I just, I don't know. All of it was great. UG. Getting to see UG. Fantastic. Yeah. So it was still a great concert.
It was a great concert.
We both bought the actual like DVD release of... concert.
I mean, we really felt that it was important to commemorate it in that way because we hadn't been able to go to the live show, and because we really did enjoy, we loved this concert performance. It was amazing to finally see all of these songs performed and to see
on Black Swan.
Yes, yes.
So at the very end of 2020, we get the release of B. This was at the end of November that we got the release of B. And our takeaway for this album was really that it was so incredibly healing. They were not planning on releasing this album, not at all, but with the pandemic and the situation of everything that 2020 brought, they were able to put an album together, and it's super healing. For me, it's just like, I can't imagine like a world without Telepathy and Disease. I feel these are two of their best songs, the bridge particularly. at Disease, it still hits every time I listen to it. It still hits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Telepathy is still so fucking good. Like, I think Telepathy is like my top song on that album. Mm-hmm. Love it every time it comes on. For me, B came out the same day that my grandpa passed away in 2020 from COVID and from Alzheimer's that he had had. And so this album was very healing for me in a different way because I grieved while listening to Blue and Gray, which is my background right now. It's their performance for MTV Unplugged. And it was such a beautiful performance when they did this show with MTV Unplugged. And I really loved that one of the songs they sang was Blue and Gray because I really felt connected to that song and it really helped me. When we had my grandpa's funeral, it was really hard emotionally for me. I had kind of arrived after all of my family, so I didn't, you know, I hadn't been around anyone until like the morning of his funeral. And I cried so much at the actual service and after the service. And, you know, just saying goodbye was really hard. Right. And the entire time from the funeral home to the cemetery, the song that was going through my head was Blue and Gray. And it was really comforting. It was, you know, like, where's my angel? You know, like that line. And like, it was just really lovely. And so I'm really glad that I had that song at that time. Mm-hmm. And because that song helped me so much, you know, was such a support during that time, I was still really able to enjoy the rest of the album. Like, I don't look back on the album, you know, with sadness or like kind of avoid it because it's hard to think about and, you know, think about my grandpa. But, you know, I really love my grandpa. And so I'm glad that I'm able to think about him every time that I can think about this album. And like, that's just what B is to me.
Yeah. It's such a healing album. And I'm just grateful that the song, you're not really sad when you listen to it, that it's really a song that helped you through that moment and help you kind of process go through the grieving of losing your grandpa that time.
Definitely did.
Yeah. That gets us
into 2020.
2021.
Yeah.
Getting into 2021. This is the beginning of the year. They switched over to HYBE, Big Hit Music. This is when they had the overarching, the umbrella company of HYBE. And I always think of Namjoon and the Namtitties with this HYBE shirt.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That is the HYBE promotion. That's the only HYBE promotion that we want. Because since the creation of HYBE, we've, you know, it's made a lot of changes that are not always the best, in our opinion.
Yeah, but a lot of
good things too.
Great stuff has come with it too. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of great groups and, you know, so.
And at the same time that HYBE was happening, Film Out, iconic Film Out was released. Hello, Kim
Seokjin. You had to plug in.
I always have to talk about Film Out, and this is my opportunity. I still love Film Out. I still listen to it all the time. It's so iconic, and we got to talk about Film Out and HYBE becoming a thing in the same episode. So that was just really, really great. I am forever thinking about this Kim Seokjin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just crazy that when HYBE was, I mean, when they were transitioning to HYBE, we were also joining Consequence, and we had started the 1-7 podcast on Spotify too. So it just kind of felt like there was a lot of major events and changes happening at the beginning of 2021.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then May 21st, we got BTS's second fully English song, Butter. We live streamed the release of Butter also. And we made pancakes with like butter and syrup while live streaming, which was really fun. It was like a fun pre music video drop activity. And so that was really, really memorable for us. I loved Butter just the minute that we heard it. I absolutely loved the song.
I did too. I really enjoyed all the promotions around it. Like, I just feel like some of the anticipation is what's so fun for me a lot of the times. And seeing the retro feel, like I remember seeing the very black retro look of Butter for the promos. I remember the melting butter, the hour-long melting butter promo trailer teaser thing, whatever that was. Just, I felt like, you know, the pop art, the themes, just all of it, the concept, I was really in love with.
It felt like a whole era, you know, even though it was just one song, and we really loved that. And what I love about Butter is that we defended this song to the fucking death on the K-pop cast podcast, and and we totally converted them to butter lovers. Like yeah. they going into it, they were like, hey, we're going to do an episode on butter. Do you guys want to join in? And we had just done ours. Yeah. So we were super knowledgeable like, on every ready. Single thing. We're like, yes. let's go. and they went from like being like, they were like, it's okay. Or it's kind of mid mm-hmm. to at the end of it, we had totally convinced them about why butter was incredible. Right. The music video, the lyrics, top to bottom. It was everything.
Yeah. And for us, what really made butter was just like the BTS callbacks, oh, yeah. right? Like we saw the elevator, which really made us think of Dope. Just the solo dances that they all get during the kind of like dance break part of the song. And of course, the rap. Like that's what Dynamite didn't have that Butter did. We yeah. were like, man, when Dynamite came out, we were missing the rap a little bit. We're like, where's the rappers? Right. And they brought it back with Butter. So getting to hear the rap verses in Butter, we were like, sold.
Yeah, sold. Totally. It made it, it was like a major step in the right direction for right. their English music.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So after this, we end up getting the release of Permission to Dance. And so we had shared a handful of our honest opinions about Permission to Dance. And, you know, I just think that this was a time where there was maybe a little bit of division on like where the English discography was going by the time Permission to Dance was released. I think a lot of ARMYs had mixed feelings. There was a lot of mixed feelings within the fandom. We felt like it was kind of treated like a hit track, but the actual promotion around it seemed very like vague. And we're like, what? I kept seeing like Permission to Dance popping up on Twitter before its release and being like, wait, what is this? You know, is this another song? It didn't seem, right. obviously it didn't get the attention that Butter did, but I also felt like once it did get released, it ended up becoming like almost bigger than Butter mm-hmm. in terms of like, I mean, their concert ended up getting named Permission to Dance.
Right.
So, you know, for us, it was just like an adjustment, you know, and I feel that there were ARMYs who could relate to that. In
yeah.
a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But we got Hoseok and these chaps. Like, I remember, like, fangirling so hard over these chaps. And particularly the, like, bleached white hair. Like, that bright bleach blonde hair that J-Hope had.
Yeah.
Still a really, really great era for all of them.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Right after we got Permission to Dance, we got to go to see Permission to Dance on stage in LA mm-hmm. because they had decided that they were going to have these four concerts there. And we just had to jump on that opportunity.
Of course. I mean, the second it was announced that there was going to be a concert in LA, I called you, Kayla.
Yeah.
Immediately. I don't even remember where you were. It was like at night sometime. And I'm like, we're going to LA. Like, there's yeah. no question about it. We're going to LA. Like
it was announced and I hadn't even like seen my text messages before yeah. you were calling me. Like, yeah. and I was like, yes, whatever it is, we have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just what a fantastic weekend that was. This is where we got to host our first like listener meetup with mm-hmm. all of the Iconics. Mm-hmm. We had done a lot of research and trying to figure out like activities to plan for the Iconic Army, just like the right. setting. And it's just so fun to get to see a lot of you guys who are here right now in person at a meetup and getting to talk and, you know, have everyone meet and mingle over BTS and what they were looking forward to with the concert after not having seen BTS in yeah. years.
Yeah. Yeah. Live. I mean, the Iconic meetup was like definitely a major highlight of right. the whole weekend for us. Like being able to meet in person these incredible people that mm-hmm. like we so respect and enjoy.
Super respect, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, like Iconics, we really feel like you all are like the best people. Every time yeah. we get to talk to an Iconic, we're like, wow, this person is incredible and we're lucky yeah. to know them.
Right.
And so to get the Iconic hangout and to really meet you in person and to like, it was that confirmation, wow, they really are the most incredible people. And yeah. we felt so lucky to have pulled yeah. that meetup together. Right. And then, yeah, like the concert was incredible. It was also over your birthday weekend.
It was my birthday weekend,
which
yeah.
made it super special mm-hmm. because we got to like celebrate you that weekend too,
yeah.
which was so fun. We went to like a rooftop bar and yeah. just
in Hollywood.
In Hollywood, a rooftop bar in Hollywood to yeah. celebrate your birthday, like yeah. during the sunset too. It was awesome.
It's like so bougie. Like I never expect anything like that for my birthday. That's why for my 28th birthday, it was so low key. I didn't do anything. It's like, oh, it's because my 27th 7th was so fantastic. Right. Like, I mean, can't be topped, but it was so great to see BTS in person. And we had not known about those carts that
the
went
forklifts
by
that went
the
around.
Forklifts. Yeah. We try not to spoil the concerts for ourselves. So it wasn't until like in the midst of the concert that we could see them getting on these forklifts and we're like,
what the fuck are they doing?
Where are they going? Right. You know? And then it like hit us so hard that they were going to come right in front of us. We were like row four.
We were four rows back because they came around the level 100 section and that's where we were at, four rows back. So even though it was like a little bit of like validation, you know, payback from the cancellation of the Map of the Soul 7 tour and the super close, you know, second stage tickets we didn't get. Instead, we got to see them that close. And what made it super special, like being four rows back, we were incredibly close as they came by, but our double biases were on the forklift together.
Yes, they were on the same forklift.
Like, it was incredible. Like Taeyong, J-Hope, Namjoon, Jimin, all right there. We got to see
all of them.
It was incredible. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously they switched in the middle and the rest of them came back by, but it just made it super special. Yeah. It was like they knew, you know, it was one of those moments where it was like, wow, they're meant for us, you know?
And another really standout memorable moment and takeaway from that concert was they ended with Permission to Dance, where we were like, had mixed feelings about the song, but in that moment, it was so happy and seeing and like dancing around to Permission to Dance with BTS at the end of the concert. Like, I just felt that, you know, I'm like, okay, like this really is a great song. And this is just a beautiful moment for all of us to be here. And so grateful after having not seen them for so long.
Yeah. It was amazing to literally do that choreography that they made so accessible to everyone with the entire crowd of like 70,000 at SoFi. You know, it was really amazing. It was, I mean, I just got chills with you talking about it again, because we really did just fully enjoy that moment, despite any of our other feelings about Permission to Dance externally. In that moment, we loved it. And, you know, we're like, this may be the last time that we ever see them perform Permission to Dance. It wasn't, but we were enjoying it for like what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That was 2021. And then 2022,
this year,
it just happened. So you all know.
We're going to pretty quickly recap 2022 and just kind of reflect on this year.
I mean, we got that's a major standout to me from 2022. Like, I mean, this iconic duo of Min, Yoongi, and Psy, like this collaboration was fucking incredible. Right. The fact that Yoongi produced it and was so good that he had to get on the track also and feature was great.
And
it
was in the music video.
Yeah, the music video.
The choreo. Truly iconic that.
Yeah.
It's just such a blessing.
Yeah, I love that.
Yes,
The true post-pandemic song.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, the true post-pandemic song. Yeah. And then after this, we got the release of Proof. We were really looking forward to this being an anthology, and it just made so much sense with like chapter two starting. We didn't know at the time, but you know, to really cap off chapter one with all of Proof, getting some of those like demos, getting to like hear songs that hadn't been released before, and of course, yet to come.
Yeah.
And of course, it was released on June 10th, you know, their anniversary.
Right. The anthology was really incredible to get this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, we got the announcement of chapter two. So we had gotten their Festa dinner where we had really realized that like there was going to be this indefinite break. They had these couple breaks, you know, over the past year.
Some hiatus.
And we're like, a break again. They would like do one thing and then break again. And so, yeah, I really do think that like looking back, we had the blindfolds on or the,
We didn't want to see it. You know?
Yeah. We didn't want to see it, but it was definitely coming. So I will say that was a tough time to really, you know, for a lot of armies to realize that this is like they're going on to solo work now. Mm-hmm. But we were so blessed that not long after this announcement, we got Jack in the Box.
Hell yeah.
From J-Hope.
Yes. And that pulled us right out of that funk, because Jack in the Box from J-Hope was incredible.
Yes.
In everything. More arson?
Arson, right.
Yeah. I mean, and being able to go to Hobiepalooza, like you and I had never been to a music festival before.
No.
And just knowing that J-Hope was going to be performing there, we were like, we have to fucking go. There was no question.
We weren't going to go.
Well, I said we have to go. You were like, no, it's fine, whatever.
I was unsure because it was a music festival. But then I was just so sad about like the announcement of chapter two. I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Impulse by. Like, this is how I'm coping with my feelings. Yes. Just gonna buy tickets. I'm so glad that we did, because Hobie Palooza, like, obviously all of BTS's concerts are fantastic, but Hobie Palooza, the energy level of that audience and just the energy level between ARMY and J-Hope, I can't describe it.
To have drawn a crowd of over 100,000 just to his stage for that performance, mm-hmm, is so telling.
Yeah.
And he rocked the crowd the whole night. I mean, I can guarantee that everybody who was there enjoyed it and fucking loved it. I mean, that was such an iconic moment. The entire day, not only did we get to meet up with more iconics that day and kind of catch up with people that we had met at the LA hangout, mm-hmm, but we got to like just experience fucking J-Hope there solo and see how he rocked the stage and owns the stage on his own. I mean, I think that he was really changed from Hobie Palooza. Like,
oh yeah,
it became his night.
Oh yeah, it's like a newfound confidence. He's always had the confidence, but like he's just like a changed man. And I do think it's because that was his moment of like, yes, I'm a great performer as a member of BTS, but I'm also a fantastic performer as J-Hope, a solo artist.
Yeah. What a highlight to our year was Hobie Palooza.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Live BTS member in person. Yeah. Incredible. Anything,
Jimin,
all we need.
Jimin was there.
Yeah, Jimin was there. I just love that Jimin was there as well.
Yeah. But we also ended up getting Sexy New Kim, Rush Hour. We got the Yet to Come concert in Busan. That's when we also got the announcement of their military service that they would be serving after just kind of all sorts of speculation about what was going to go on. But I think one of the highlights for me was just the Yet to Come concert in Busan and getting Run BTS and seeing choreo and just the Run BTS performance.
You've been needing that since June 10th.
It completed proof for me.
Yeah.
I don't know why I needed it so badly. I'm just grateful. Like, I feel so needy.
No, I mean, I feel like BTS knew how much that ARMY would want and need that performance. And I think back then they must have known that they were going to do the concert in Busan and they just saved it for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, in the Festa dinner where Jin was like winking at the camera when they were talking about Run BTS, like, he was kind of letting us know, like, don't worry.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we're ending up here 2022 with The Astronaut and with Indigo and with our 200th episode. I mean, we just really cannot believe like where BTS has gone in these past like 5 years of standing them and past 5 years of making this podcast and like going on this journey, this like creative, collaborative project that you and I have taken on together. Right. It's been really wonderful to make these 200 episodes with you, Bethany. I'm going to cry.
I'm going to cry too. It's been incredible. I'm so grateful for our friendship. I'm so grateful for BTS. I'm so grateful for all of our listeners, all of your support over several years. I mean, since 2018 when this show came into fruition, it's just turned into way more than I ever expected it to be.
Same.
So thank you for all of your support. Thank you, BTS, for just enriching our lives, like truthfully, deepening our friendship and connecting us to so many other incredible people around the country and the world too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Eternally grateful for this opportunity that, you know, we have to be able to have shared this 200th episode with you all. And Bethany, I love you. And I'm so glad that we get to do this together.
Yes.
This is like truly one of the biggest gifts of my life is to be able to hang out with you and just fangirl and talk about everything having to do with BTS all the time. It brings me joy.
It brings
all the
me
time.
So much joy. I love you so much.
I love you too.
Let's get all sappy. Well, thank you all so, so much for joining us for our 200th episode. It means so much that you all were here. We're going to keep at it.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as BTS or, wherever they go on their journey, we're going along with them.
100%.
We're happy to be talking about them
every
other week. Indefinitely, forever.
Forever. Literally forever. For 50 years from now, just like they say, 20, 30, 50 years.
Right.
So thank you to Iconics who listened along with us live, and special thanks to our VIP Iconics on Patreon: Eileen, Michelle, Deja, Meg, Rachel, Robin, Emily, Madison, Holly, and Sophia, thank you guys so much for all of your love and support. We appreciate it. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know. Reach out to us on social media. Our DMs are open. Write us a review. It means so much, and it helps other people find this podcast and get interested in it also. And of course, you can find links for all of those things in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for stanning BTS.
For 200 episodes.
We just recapped all these years of BTS. Thank you guys for being here.
Oh, thank you guys so much. We love you. Thank you. Thank you for joining. We're so glad that you guys came.
Yes. It's so good to see all of your faces. Thank you, Mijan.
Thank you, Mijan.